Hey, what's up? This is your girl Martha, owner of MDMC Entertainment, here at MDMC headquarters. So I just had a meeting with my team, and we're just looking over, you know, a lot of the content that we're us ourselves are sending out, and we're just like, you know what, we got to get on to this recordings of these shows because there's a lot to say and just not a lot of time to do it. So here we are. All right, let's get right to it because this topic is a question I get a lot, and I kind of want to go through it as in-depth as I possibly can to give you sort of my take on it. You know, starting a business with little to no money, that's hard. I actually did that. I did that. It was crazy. So a lot of y'all know the story, you know, back in 2018, right at the tail end of 2018, I actually got quote unquote terminated from my position to little to no reason. Had no idea why. Was generating money for a company. They just said, we're done. That set me into 233 days of uncertainty. I was unemployed for that long. And I know a lot of people are like, why don't you just apply for jobs? Well, I fucking did. I did. I was applying left and right. And I think because at the time my ego was bruised, I was like, I'll be able to get back on my feet fast. And I didn't. I struggled. 233 days, like that's well over half a year, 7 months. And, you know, I think what really pissed me off was that I didn't deserve it. And neither did I get an explanation or a thank you or nothing. I got zip. And, you know, I think honestly, that experience and the one that followed are two, I think those were just the signs from the universe saying, you do not need to be working for people anymore. Like, this is it. And, you know, I've had people tell me like, well, you're kind of difficult to work with, or, you know, you just don't follow by the rules, or you should probably be nicer. And like, I get it. And I've always been professional. I've never been confrontational in the workplace. Like, me, who I am right now, is a very different me that was working under an employer. I wasn't as ballsy as I was. I was very timid. I was very, oh God, I was fatter too, because I was so unhappy. I was just very much just not in the best place. And I tried to just be the best employee. I would go home and I would still work on stuff. I would read up on things I didn't know about. Try to be the best employee possible. And granted, you don't get paid for that. You're using your own personal time where you should have been relaxing and probably going to the gym or eating better or doing something else instead of putting it into the job. But at the time, I just really wanted to do good at the job. And, you know, the truth is like, you know, I just could not fit into these boxes. Like, literally, how do I explain this? Okay, hold on. I actually have a literal box. We can actually use this as an example. There. Here's a box. Okay. This is the metaphorical box of what employers want you to be in. They want you to, quote unquote, be there on time, attend the meetings, whichever weekly meetings you got to go into, and you have to, you know, do the mandated fun days. You have to, which suck. The mandatory fun days were the worst for me. So you have to behave and get along with everybody and all the rules and the mumbo jumbo. You have to get here at 6 a.m. I used to get there at like 7. But I have to get there at like 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. and leave at 5:30. Like, I was extremely overworked. I don't know how I didn't sue those guys. But you have to sit here and fit into a box of bullshit that employers want you to fit in. I was never that person. I never, ever, ever fit into that. And I don't know why. I feel like people are always like, you're such a rebel. I'm like, no, I'm not a rebel. I just don't want to do this. Like, I would not kiss ass to get ahead. A lot of people were like, this is why you don't get ahead. And I'm like, I refuse to kiss someone's ass to get ahead. If I'm going to get ahead, it's going to be my work and my merit. Not that. So I just never fit into these boxes. I'll use a greater example. I think this won't fit. This is me. This is me trying to fit in this box. Nope. Kind of fitting in. Nope. See if we can layer down. Nope. I just didn't fit. Period. So I got rid of that box. I just could not stand this bullshit of having to be and follow these rules and to do this and do that. I wanted to come in, do the best job I can do, and leave. That's it. That's all I wanted out of life, you know? And to get a nice paycheck for it. So pretty. But anyway, nonetheless, when I was in those 233 days, a lot of people at that time told me, Martha, go get a job, like go start your career, go start your business. You already have the foundation to get, and I'm getting used to using the law, to getting MDMC off the ground. And at that point, MDMC was only functioning as, you know, a part-time, like doing social media for some Power Rangers, like just not what you think it would be. And I was just like, I don't have time to focus on the business. I have to get out of here and I have to get I had bills, you know, I had a car payment. I had, you know, so many things that I just needed to pay. And, you know, the idea, the loving idea of starting a business was like, yeah, it's a pipe dream, but is it ever going to happen? Probably not. You know, I didn't have faith in myself at that time because that's not where my focus was. My focus was on, let me get back into one of these funky boxes and make some money. Which was never a good idea. Never a good idea. So anyway, I think it was probably around, let's see, I got let go in the end of beginning of November. It's probably around March. I applied and applied and applied. I got to the point where I actually had to rewrite my resume history because the employer that had terminated me, I guess were saying bad things to potential people I was trying to get a job with. And I know that, that they probably did because at one time I had overheard somebody that worked there, when people would call for a reference, like the people would say really bad things about them and hang up the phone. And they were like, do you recommend to hire? And they were like, nope. So I know that was happening with me. And I was just like, damn, all right. Okay. So I had to, and thank God I had multiple projects that I was working on the side, I could replace that timeline and, you know, kind of fill it in and not necessarily lie, but I had to figure out a way to stay ahead of the game. And also, job hunting in San Diego is probably the most competitive market you can job hunt in. It was crazy. And I really thought I had something to offer to people. And I just kept falling on my face. And finally, I ended up getting a job a quote unquote part-time job with a business coach who I only had that job with for 3 months, but it was definitely the most eye-opening experience of my life because they were horrible bosses. This person that was running that was a complete and total bitch and lacked empathy and was just all about the facts and figures and the results. And I'm just like, geez, like, I couldn't even breathe. And then that's another thing about people in their boxes. That one, that box was funky as fuck. This person, and I don't understand, and now knowing what I know with employment law and what people can get sued for and whatnot, it's crazy. I could have probably sued her. I did not, but one of the things that they required was to, if work started at 9 a.m., we had to be physically in the building and in the office at 8:50. If we did not show up, we were considered late. And, you know, life happens. You know, you can get a flat tire, you can run out of gas, you can, and especially in San Diego, there's an accident. I mean, I remember I was really late to work. I think I was 30 minutes late because there was a really bad accident on the 15 South. And I had left the house on time and I had done everything. And so what they required was that you must be in the office physically by 8:50. 9 o'clock, you can start working. So there was no hanging out in your car, in the lobby, in the coffee shop before going in. You had to be in there. If you showed up at 8:55, you were late. I was like, well, no, because work starts at 9. But when I was really late, I was like 45 minutes late. And it was not in my power. It was literally in the hands of God. I had left early. And one of the things that she said was when I came in at 9:45, I was like, yeah, hey, really sorry. I didn't come in with Starbucks or anything. Like, I was legitimately late. And she was like, why are you late? And I was like, well, like I told you in the text message, there was an accident on I-15 South at the Rancho Bernardo exit. It was like a massive car pileup. The entire lane was completely shut down. We were literally a parking lot. Had to turn off my car to conserve gas, you know, all that. And she said, well, whose fault was that? I said, well, I don't know. I mean, it's not on the news yet. And I thought she was asking about the people in the crash. I was like, well, I don't know. I haven't seen a news report yet, but as soon as I know, I'll let you know. She's like, no. Whose fault is it that you're late? And I was like, I told you there was a crash. She's like, no, it's your fault you're late. I said, how? This is how combative this person was. What do you mean? It's your fault you didn't leave early. I said, not necessarily. This crash started at, and I lived, of course, in San Marcos. So to get down to San Diego downtown, it took about 45 minutes to an hour. So if I had to report by 8:50, I left the house, no joke, by 7:30. That gave me a 20 minute window in the event something happened. So I wasn't leaving at 7 or 6:30 in the morning. I was leaving at 7:30. That got me enough time to get to San Diego. And I usually got there about 30 minutes early, always like clockwork. And I said, well, not necessarily. I leave, and I gave her the math. I was like, I actually leave my house at 7:30. This crash happened at 7. So it's not necessarily my fault. Like, I was literally combating her with like logic. And she was such a gaslighter that she's like, no, it's your fault. You should have left at 7. I was like, well, then I still would have got caught. I would have probably been in the accident. And she was like, you need to take responsibility for yourself. And I'm like, you're crazy. I was like, I kind of just looked at her. And I think this is where the ballsiness came out. I just looked at her like, are you fucking stupid? And I walked and sat back at my desk. I was like, I am not in the mood. And I'm just there. And my assistant at the time was like, the fuck? I was like, I'm giving you all the facts and figures. Literally, life happens. And you have this weird bullshit rule that we have to be in the office 10 minutes before work starts, which necessarily is not technically legal. Work starts at 9. You can't dictate what time people actually come in. And so, like, one of the things that my assistant said was, like, she can say she wants us in at 8:50, but that doesn't mean I'm working at 8:50. And then, because her office was such a big loft, we didn't have a private conference room. We had 4 private offices, and they were glass. So people could go in and work, and you can look inside the office, and you can see people working. Well, the conference room, there was no conference room. We were in the conference room. We had desks lining the windows, and then we had one massive conference room table in the middle. So there was a conference meeting at 10, okay? And so 10 o'clock rolls around. She comes out of her office, and she's like, are we meeting? We're like, yeah. She's like, weren't you guys at the table? We're like, we're waiting for you. She's like, you're not at the table. You're late. Both of you are late. Hurry up. And I was like, are you serious? So we literally had to scoot like 3 feet in our chairs to sit down. I was just like, you are insane. Insane. It was literally the worst experience of my life. And I can go on and on. But nonetheless, I just could not fit into crazy people's boxes. That wasn't the end all. Like at that time, look, I was short on money, short on cash. I had just finally gotten this job. I was trying to be as nice and sweet and accommodating and taking blame for an accident that was not my fault that made me late. Like oh my God, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to sit there and take accountability for something you didn't do. And that's what she wanted. It was weird. But nonetheless, I ended up getting let go. I think it was October. So I got in at July, the beginning of July, and got let go in October. And so during that time, I think after the first 2 weeks, I said, I can't hold on to this job. Like, this is insane. Like, one, I did click off something off my bucket list, and that was to be able to work in downtown San Diego. I always wanted to do that. And I was in a high rise on Broadway, and I was like, you know what? This is like, I did it, you know? And I talk about manifestation a lot. You'll hear more later on in this season, but I think after the first 2 weeks and actually leaving that job every day with a massive headache, this woman was the devil. I would leave work with a massive headache and crying all the time. I would go home, I'd make dinner, I would enjoy the last couple hours I had, go to sleep early, but I would take walks with my dogs, and I would talk to you know, my husband about it. I'm like, she makes me feel like I'm not a good marketer. I feel like I've lost all my confidence in what I used to be good at. And I started to wonder, am I done? Like, is this just not my career anymore? And, you know, my mom was like, well, maybe you should like look into PR, look into public relations. Maybe you need a switch. Maybe you need to do something different. And I was like, maybe. And so I just felt like crap for 3 months. And when I got the first paycheck, it was a very good paycheck. She paid me the most. She definitely paid me the most out of any other employer, which I'm appreciative for. But at what cost was I getting that paycheck? And I said, you know what? I think I'm not going to do what I did last time, because when I was terminated, the rug was pulled out from under me. I had no clue what to do. I had no money saved. I had, you know, so I couldn't get my LLC or my corporation. I couldn't do any of that stuff. So I'm like, how do I operate a business? How do I make a new website? How do I get leads? How do I, you know, how do I advertise on, you know, doing this? Like, how? I had no means of doing that. And so because I was working for this psycho, I said, you know, maybe what I need to do is just pay what we need to pay. Like, I had to pay, I had to catch up on paying bills. And then I threw some off to the side and I'm like, let's put it into the business here. So I got, can't get used to this, got MDMC going. And so I would do, like, I was watching what she was doing and I was like, I'm definitely not doing that. And so I would just start creating and working on different things. And eventually it turned into something. And I was like, okay, all right. And I just kept going and going. And I just, I know, like, it was weird. Like, we couldn't even have our cell phones out. People would hit me up and say, oh, I need this, I need that. Well, in between the hour, and here's another thing too. This is where, and anyone who's watching is going to make the leap, or you just gotten into a job. This was considered a part-time job. So a part-time job is anywhere between 3 to 6 hours. Well, what she was doing was she was labeling it part-time, but it was a full-time job. I started at 9, I left at 5 with a 30-minute lunch. That's illegal. If you're going to be working a full schedule, you're supposed to have 2 breaks, which luckily she gave us breaks, 15-minute breaks. I would run to the bathroom and cry. No joke. And then I would eventually end up going and, like, going downstairs, going to the coffee shop, something to just walk, get my head out of this psycho's mind. And then I had a 30-minute lunch. That 30-minute lunch was not enough. Like, it needed to be more. And she knew what she was doing. She was getting the most out of us at, like, a discounted rate. And on top of that, not offering health insurance either. So there's a lot of things she was doing illegally to get the help. And honestly, like, I look back at our goals and everything, and I'm like, if I'm going to have MDMC employees, they cannot be treated that way. Like, that just opened my eyes as to what kind of boss I wanted to be. I wanted to be someone who was open, that anyone could come to and talk to if they need help, if they're concerned about a job that I gave them. You know, I never want anyone to be afraid of me. I was terrified of this chick. And I don't know why. She was younger than me. You know, allegedly a self-made millionaire, which who knows how real that was. But, you know, this was all leading up to my job into entrepreneurship. So literally everything that I could get, I saved, I threw it into the business. Finally, when she let me go, it was because I wasn't making calls or I didn't schedule calls for her. She was in Europe. I don't know. I think when she was in Europe, she probably decided to fire me then. But when she came back from her trip, it's so hard to, like, be like, oh my God, I missed you. So glad you're back. Like, that is not me. I was like, hey, how are you? How was the trip? Like, that's more me. But, like, she really wanted, she wanted us to address her in a certain way. And one of the things that I said when I left was, you know, she was like, it's just your attitude is bad. You didn't make these phone calls. I was like, okay, that's fine. All right. She's like, yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, so I need you to go get your car responder, because I had to be able to park downstairs in the building because it was a high rise. You had a responder in your car so that the gate would just go up and down and it would just let you go, right? Well, she's like, go get your responder and your parking pass, and also give me your laptop. I was like, yeah, no problem. So I, thank God, never saved anything on my computer. I think I deleted the history and then I was like, I'm out. So I ended up, like, just unplugging it, rolling up the charger, putting the laptop on the conference room table, and grabbed my keys and I went downstairs. And I came back up and I gave her the responder, and I was like, here you go. She's like, gee, thanks. I was like, yeah, no problem. And I think right before I went and got the responder, you know, she was just like, you're just, you know, you just didn't do this, you didn't do that. I was like, I couldn't fit into the funky, crazy box you were trying to put me in. You didn't let me thrive the way I should have been thrived. You didn't nurture me the way you should have nurtured me as an employee. So good luck with your crazy boxes. And I think that was one of my last things I said before I went and got the responder. So I know that lingered in her head for a good while. And then my assistant was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm out. See you later. She's like, what do you mean you're out? I said, she fired me. So good luck. She was like, oh, she was panicked. She was like, oh my God. And she had just bought a house. And yeah, she had a lot more to lose than I did. And I was like, the hell with this. And I spent the first week of me being unemployed and just being like, you know what? This is who I am. This is what I've done. Hire me. And so I used Facebook and Instagram. I didn't run any ads. And I just started going. Little to no money. You should have some money saved. I always tell people that want to go off and be an entrepreneur. And you can, I did little reels about this, like quick little things. If you want to become an entrepreneur and you do want to take this leap, save some money, like at least cover your rent for several months. I have people on Instagram hitting me up that know nothing about this. And, you know, I had someone hit me up saying, well, I want to be an entrepreneur. And I said, all right, first question, do you know what an entrepreneur is? No, I don't. And I said, okay, well, an entrepreneur is someone who is self-employed that can fully sustain themselves financially and are offering a service or a business to consumers. What is your service? And they told me what their service was. And I was like, okay. And they said, you know, well, can I just start? I said, you can start doing, you know, like you can start doing services and collecting money, but, you know, make sure that you have all of your systems in place for, you know, like financial, you know, your licensing, your LLCs, your S corp, your corporation, whatever it is that you got going on. And, I have to refer back to the conversation because it was kind of funny. Because this person just flat out didn't know. And I think the reason most people don't know is because Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and everything else that's out there are just, they give the illusion that this is easy. That having all of this is easy and it's easy to maintain. It's easy for anyone to say, I'm an entrepreneur, when you're not. You have to sustain yourself. I mean, you know, someone asked me, like, you know, what kind of business license do you have? And I said, well, I have this. And they're like, well, what's better? And I was like, well, honestly, probably this is better. Something probably better for you. And they said, you know, how much, you know, I said, you have to, you know, register all of that. And he was like, well, how much? I was like, well, you have to file it. So, and I said, you know, I got a tax guy who I'm not happy with. I have to switch. Last season was not great for me. And I had to switch that because the guy was an idiot, but I ended up having to hire somebody else. But one of the things I said was like, well, when I went and filed it, you know, I spent, you know, a little over a grand because one, I had to pay their fee and then I had to pay all of the filing fees and everything else. And they're like, dang. And I was like, just for filing, you have to pay. And I said, yeah, this shit isn't free. Like, yes, it's easy to have a concept. It's easy to say, I can do this and I can do that. That's great. But get yourself financially set up to pay for filings, to pay for software, like depending on what kind of service that you're in, you know, some softwares you're going to have to pay anywhere up to $100 to $500 a month for whatever it is that your service is in. And then you, on top of that, you have to make sure that whatever it is that you're spending that's going out can replenish your business for the following month. So you're not falling behind on those payments. Like, you know, for, and I'll be straight up honest, you know, MDMC is completely referral based, and we have spent a lot of money trying to get new leads and new clients, and it's really hard. It costs, I think, 5 times the amount of money to bring in new business versus sustaining your old business. And I believe that 100%. And it's hard. It's hard to, you know, and that's why I say you should save up some money, you know, save up some money beforehand so that when you have these weird dips in time where you have a client or don't have a client and you're trying to get by and you're still, you still got to pay the software fees. You still have to pay all these other things that are, that you use to operate your business with, because it's not necessarily free. Like, you know, as long as I feel like little to no money, you know, that's the topic of this conversation today, you know, at least have a grand. That should at least get you through the door to get started, to help you get your business off the ground, and then for you to start generating your money. I would suggest throwing a little bit of money to Facebook and Instagram, throw some ads out there, local ads. If you want to try the newspaper route, you can, but everyone is in the digital space. I would do that instead. And also network. Again, my business is 100% referral. I have never gotten a lead or a client. I'm trying to think. No, everyone has either known me or I've been referred. I've never had brand new business, which sucks. I would love to be able to have brand new business. But again, that takes a lot of time and energy that you're not there yet, just yet. So what I would say is people that you've worked with in the past, let them know, hey, I'm starting my business. I'm starting to do my own thing. Would you be willing to refer me to people? And they're like, yeah, sure. And my saving grace has always been, you know, I've told people, hey, you know, if I do really well, you know, would you refer me? They're like, oh yeah, no problem. Mm. That reminds me of something else I have to do. I have to get some referral letters. I have quite a few clients that, you know, I've done really good work for, and I need to start building out my testimonials. Because that helps, because then you'll get clients that'll be like, hey, by any chance, do you have some testimonials or some people I can call? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I give people their phone numbers and stuff, but I never actually asked or requested actual letters from people. So that's what I'm working on right now, because I, you know, I did get someone who was referred to me that did ask for that. And so the best way to do that, definitely start telling people that you work with, people that are familiar with your work, to start referring you. Also, I would find free business mixers. In San Diego, there's so many. You can go do these free events, get your 2 drink tickets. And I always say, try and talk to at least 3 people that you can hand your business card to and start doing business that way. I haven't done that in a minute, but I need to. And it's a fun way to get out and really like start practicing your pitch with people. Be like, yeah, you know, my name is Martha. I own a digital marketing agency. I've worked in the San Diego area for 10 years. I work in all of these industries. Entertainment is in the name, but it's entertainment and beyond, because I do more than that. You know, and that way you can kind of get used to being in front of people. And so that way kind of breaks your personal ice of, where you're that insecurity of trying to pitch your business to somebody. You know, starting a business and being a business owner is hard. This is not easy, you know, and especially in this day and age when, you know, we're all chasing that work-life balance. But when you're starting a business from scratch, you know, and you tell people about it, be prepared for everyone to not really help you. Like, one of the quotes that I love the most is that you're waiting for your friends and family to support you. Strangers are more likely to support you than people that know you. And the reason being is because the people that know you, and I've personally experienced this recently, there is a threshold of success people are willing to watch you succeed at. Once you surpass a certain point, they don't want to see you succeed anymore. And then they don't want to help you anymore, or they don't want to help you, period. And that's the thing, is that because you are doing something that has not, or maybe those people have not seen be accomplished before. So I know this from personal experience, you know, my mom and dad are baby boomers, or baby boomers or Gen X. I'm not sure, but nonetheless, I guess it'd be baby boomers. But baby boomers have always put into our heads that we must go to work 9 to 5, come home. You know, they were selling us this American dream that, you know, take care of your house, you know, pay your bills. Like, that was the American dream. And unfortunately, that is not the American dream now. We want to make our money, make it when we're happy, and thrive under any circumstance. We now live in the digital age. And I think one of the things that really trips people up, I know it trips up my mom sometimes too, I don't physically have to be in a specific spot in the country. I literally, what I'm broadcasting on is everything that I work on. I could fly and work from the air while I'm going to my next destination. You know, a lot of people can't grasp that you no longer have to be around four walls. These four walls I created for myself to create content, to, you know, have a space to just run away from and actually put some time in, because I'm working on some really heavy things. But these four walls I constructed, I can come and go as I please. No one is telling me I have to be here at 9 a.m. No one's telling me I have to leave here by 5. No one's telling me my lunch is at 1 o'clock. No one is telling me anything. I've set my own standards that way. And it's hard for people that are older to accept the fact that this is the new world that we live in. I get emails. I answer my emails. Work comes in those emails. I do the work. I shut my laptop. Some days I can work. Some days I start working at noon. There are days some days I do have to get up early and attend meetings, but, you know, in some cases, you know, I don't have to be at work until noon, and I can shut my laptop at 3, you know, depending on how much work I got done. And then there are other days where I started work at noon and I probably won't finish until midnight. I probably took a break for dinner and I'm back at it. So this entire premise of existing and working is hard. And it's hard because people don't want to see you succeed. Be prepared for people to tell you you're crazy. It's not going to work. You're never going to make it. How many fucking times people have told me I was never going to make it? Do you know how many times people have asked me or have told me, yo, that's never going to work. You're never going to make it. I have been proving people wrong since day freaking one. Okay, don't tell me I can't do it, because I will. And then I will show off as I have succeeded. I do that because the naysayers will do anything and everything to put you down, because they just haven't themselves put that to task to be like, I can accomplish that too. So this world, this entrepreneurial world is a lonely road. It is a lonely world too. And I know what you're saying. You're like, but you have your team, you have, you know, New York behind you. Like, how can you say you're lonely? Well, you know, I have to sit here daily in my head thinking of, where do I want this to go? How can I push this to the next level? And I am fighting internal battles of getting specific work done. Also, at the same time, I'm nurturing the interns, because they have to get something out of this so that they can thrive and go into the next phase of their lives. But a lot of it is spent up here thinking, working, trying to get to the next level. And a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people wouldn't even know how to help you in that situation. And that's where you have to do a lot of reading, a lot of research. And, you know, it's not something someone else can help me with. It's something that I am personally dealing with. So, prepared to be alone sometimes. It's lonely up here. But again, what's that quote that they say? It's a lonely road. That's why a Porsche only has two seats and a bus has 12. So yeah, I'll be riding around a Porsche one of these days here soon. But just be prepared for people to tell you that it's not possible. Be prepared for the naysayers, be prepared for the negativity, and just smile and say, all right, thanks for your opinion. And work in silence. Don't announce your moves. Don't ever announce your moves. A lot of people are like, when I announce something or I unveil something, people are like, wow, why didn't you say anything? Man, I ain't gonna say shit. There's a lot of people that would jinx this in a heartbeat if, if people knew your moves. Just be careful of that energy out there. So the moral of this episode, start your business with little to no money. I would say little money, maybe not no money, but a little money. At least have a grand or two saved up for business expenses. But definitely, if you are going to jump into this world full-heartedly and you're working a 9 to 5, save at least a year's worth of rent in the event this works out. If it does or doesn't work out, just because, again, as an entrepreneur, we have no net. This is it. I'm not working for anybody else. I don't have a 9 to 5. I'm solely relying on the work that I give to my clients for them to pay me, and any of the other work that I have out there that those people pay me, and to make sure that it's consistent and it's that workflow is constant. Because again, we have no nets. We're not working a 9 to 5. We're not sitting here, relying on that next paycheck to come through. We have to create those opportunities for us. So get out there, do what you need to do, and thrive. It's literally, there's no other way. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to like, comment, share. Please tell your friends about us. We really need to get those subscriber numbers up, and I really don't feel like paying Google to do that. Organic is best, is the way I see it. And don't forget to follow us on all of our social media: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, Pinterest. We are everywhere. We're creating amazing content, fantastic tips for you guys to apply to your own businesses and your own social media. And yeah, pretty much it. Hope you enjoy this episode, and I will see you in the next one. Bye.